C.H. Spurgeon told of a time when he was preaching to a group of Methodist brethren. In his own words, he gave the account of what transpired. He said, "Preaching a few months ago in the midst of a large congregation of Methodists, the brethren were all alive, giving all kinds of answers to my sermon, nodding their heads and crying, 'Amen! Hallelujah! Glory be to God!' My spirit was stirred." Stirs my spirit, Ivan. And, he says, "Stirred my spirit, and I preached away with unusual force and vigor. And the more I preached, the more they cried, 'Amen! Hallelujah! Glory be to God!' At last, a part of the text led me to preach on what is styled high doctrine. So I said, 'This brings me to the doctrine of election.' There was a deep draw of breath." "Now, friends," he said, "you believe it." They seemed to say, "No, we don't." "But you do. And I will make you sing hallelujah over it," said Spurgeon. "I will preach it to you that you will acknowledge it and believe it." So I put it thus: "Is there no difference between you and other men?" They said, "Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. Glory be to God. There is a difference between what you were and what you are now. Oh, yes. Oh, yes." They're sitting by your side, a man who has been to the same chapel as you, heard the same gospel as you. He's unconverted, and you're converted. Who has made the difference? Yourself or God? "The Lord," they cried. "The Lord! Glory! Hallelujah!" "Yes," I cried, "and that's the doctrine of election. That is all I contend for. If there be a difference, the Lord made the difference."
Yes, amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Last Sunday, I began speaking on high doctrine, the doctrine of election. If you weren't here, we even touched a little bit on predestination. And you remember, we took a look at Scripture. And Scripture reveals that salvation begins with God. Salvation begins with the Lord. God is the one who takes initiative in salvation. God was the one that when man sinned in the garden, he walked back into the garden. God was the one who sought man. You remember Jonah learned that in the belly of the fish, that God taught him, Jonah 2:9, that salvation is from the Lord. You remember in the New Testament, we took a look and it says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Then we looked at the fact, not only is salvation begin with God, but salvation begins with the election of God. All of the saved are the elect of God. We took a look at this, and we saw in Ephesians chapter 1, 7 truths about election. You remember we saw the source. It was God the Father. He chose us, it says. God the Father chose us. You remember that the sphere of our election was in Christ. He chose us in Him, in Christ. You see, when he looked down at us, there was nothing. We were sinners. So he had to choose us in the merits of another. And that's Jesus. He chose us. The God the Father's the source. The sphere is in Christ. The timing before what?
Foundation.
The foundations of the world. Before the foundations of the world, he chose us in Christ. We took a look last week at the motive of this whole thing. And it goes on to say, in love. Or if you look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, rich in mercy, according to his great love by which he has loved us, even though we were dead in transgressions, he made us alive in Christ. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. And wherever you find this doctrine, and you look at it, wherever election, wherever predestination is found in the Bible, you will find love, mercy, grace of God, or all three. Because that's his motive. It's his mercy, love, and grace. And then we took a look at the purpose of this whole thing. And the purpose, he says, we were chosen in him from the foundations of the world that we might be holy and blameless before him. He chose us to make us like Christ, to conform us to the image of his son. And it's all to the praise of the glory of his grace, that one day we might be trophies of the grace of God in heaven. We took a look at the basis. He did it all according to the kind intention of his will. And we said there that God, because he's kind, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's loving, he chooses the saved to be saved. And the recipients, it's us. Us. If you're saved, you're one of the us. And he chose us, and it says that election and predestination are terms, you remember we said, that apply only to the saved. Never in the Bible, you can't show me one place in the Bible it says that the lost are elect to go to hell. You can't show me one place in the Bible where it says that those who are lost are elect to damnation. These are terms that apply only to the saved, not to the lost. Well, this week, I got several calls, several emails, and people said, Pastor, I don't know if I understand this whole thing. I don't know if I can really understand. What were you saying? And you know what? Let me just say this, folks. There is mystery here. There is mystery here. If anybody says they have all the details figured out, there is mystery here. And you know what? I don't think we're going to understand all the details until we get to heaven. I don't believe we will. When we get to heaven, we'll understand. But you know what? I guess as I preach, we still need to look at it. We still need to wrestle with it. We still need to ponder it. And to know that when you just study and study and study, and the greatest spiritual men and women have studied these things, and there's mystery. And we're not going to understand all the details. But what I prayed, and I prayed this week, Lord, we might not understand it all, but may we understand enough that we come as your people and fall down and worship God, because it's so great a salvation. Yes. And he's so great a Savior.
Yes.
That we need to worship him.
Yes.
In the light of what Scripture says.
Yes, amen.
Now this morning, we go on with more high doctrine. And I'll tell you, Wednesday and Thursday this week, I thought my brain was going to explode as I studied what I'm going to share with you today. And, you know, it's I want you to turn. Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in Romans chapter 8 on our journey this morning. And I want to read verses 28 through 30. 28 through 30 of Romans chapter 8. And these are verses, at least several of them, that you're familiar with. In Romans 8, 28, it says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestinated, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified." Let's pray. Father, we just bow before you. And I pray that you would open our minds today to the truth of your word. Lord, we're so limited, we're so finite. And these truths are out of this world. And so, Holy Spirit, would you work and speak to our hearts today? And God, I do pray that we would just go and just be blown away by what you've done. And this great doctrine of salvation. And Lord, that we, those who are here that know you, would just have an overwhelming sense of awe and a desire to fall down and worship you.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
And Lord, be those here today that are still not in, still not true Christians. Would you speak to their heart today? And Lord, draw them to your Son, Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Today I want to speak to you on the subject of the call. The call. Did you see it here in these verses in Romans? He says, he causes all things to work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purposes. For whom he foreknew, he predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son. And who he predestinated, these he also what? Called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And there seems to be an order here of how God brings this whole thing together. It starts with God. And it starts with the choosing of God or election. And those whom he elected, the saved that he elected, he predestinated. Those who are saved are going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has foreordained that that would happen. And those whom he predestinated, he called. And that's the next logical order in the process of salvation, the call of God. So I want to look at the call today. And first of all, the call of God. I want to look at a definition first. The definition of the call. In Thiessen's lectures in systematic theology, he defines the call. He says, "We may define God's call as that act of grace by which he invites men to accept by faith the salvation provided by Christ." God gives by his grace an invitation for men to accept his Son. Grudem, in his systematic theology, comments on the importance of this call. He says, "Without the call of God, If there were no gospel call, we would not be saved.
Absolutely.
We would not be saved.
Yes,
now, the nature and the persons of the call of God. Now, if you read in any the systematic theology books, many of the theologians divide the call into two distinct calls. A general call and a specific call. Let me look at those. Let's look at those. First of all, the general call of God. Sometimes it's called, this call is called the universal call or the external call. Scripture indicates that salvation is offered to all. Offered to all. God's call goes out to all men. Turn to Isaiah 55. Take a look at this general call. Isaiah 55. And I want to read the first three verses, or parts at least of the first three verses of Isaiah 55, beginning in verse 1. I think we have reference here to the general call of God. It reads, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, eat, come buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me." Amen. Ho! He says, everyone. That's the general call.
Yes, sir.
It goes out. General call. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. Now, turn over New Testament in Matthew 11. Turn to Matthew 11 and verse 28. In the New Testament, Jesus has a general call listed here. This is one of the times he says it. But the general call is this. Matthew 28. "Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come unto me, who? All ye who are weary and heavy laden. By the way, God's favorite word to the lost is come. Yep. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Ho, everyone that's weary and heavy laden, come. Come. It's all men, all women of all ages. See, children, come to the Lord. Oh, old people. You know, those people that are a couple years older than me. Old people, come to the Lord. M, middle-aged people, come to the Lord. E, everybody, come to me. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Rest. Tell you, put people, you know what you need today? Some people need rest. R-E-S-T, really enjoying salvation today. That's how you can get rest for your soul.
Yes.
Turn over to John chapter 7. John, the Gospel of John chapter 7. Jesus, on the last day of the feast, in John chapter 7, in verse 37. He says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink.'" There it is. It says what? Anyone. Everyone. All. Anyone. The call goes out. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord. Come and drink living water. You drink water and you thirst again. He can give you water for your soul and you will never thirst again. Come. It's a call that goes out to all, to everyone. And that call is echoed in so many verses of Scripture. One that we all know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever. You see that all throughout Scripture. Whosoever. Whosoever. That's a general call. That's a call to everyone. Romans 10 says, whosoever shall believe in the Lord will not be disappointed. I'm going to tell you, you may be disappointed in me. You may be disappointed in all kinds of people, but you come to the Lord Jesus and you'll never be disappointed. Amen. Who's that for? Whosoever. Whosoever. And folks, why does God call whosoever? Because in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God, it's like God is up in heaven today, and his arms are open, and he's saying, come, come. Come unto me. This is the age of grace. Heaven's doors open. Come. And the general call, the universal call, is for all to be saved. Now, folks, let me say something about this. I don't know how it all works, but that's got to be a real call. It's not somehow fake or somehow, it's a real call. Whosoever will come will be saved. God loves the lost and desires the lost to be saved. And he sends out his general call to all mankind. Needless to say, that general call is many times rejected. But I'll tell you what, we have a job to do. And you talk about missions, Bob. We got to get the word out. Because the call is to the uttermost parts of the world. Starting here at the Haven. And your next door neighbor. But it doesn't stop there. It goes out to all men. That's the general, universal, external call of God. But then there's the specific call. Some call it the efficacious or effective call. Or the internal call. In a more specific way, those who are saved are the called of God. Grudem, again in his systematic theology, defines the effective call. Listen to what he says. Listen to this. Effective calling is an act of God the Father speaking through the human proclamation of the gospel, in which he summons people to himself in such a way that they respond in saving faith. He goes on to state, quote, "It is important that we not give impression that people will be saved by the power of this call apart from their own willing response to the gospel. Although it is true that the effective calling awakens and brings forth a response from us, we must always insist that this response still has to be a voluntary, willing response in which the individual puts his or her trust in Christ." And then he says, this is why prayer is so important for effective evangelism. You know, Billy Graham, I remember hearing him saying this. If you're saved, somebody prayed for you. And he said, I ran into some people and they said, oh, no, nobody prayed for me. And then they come back and say, you know what? My grandmother that I never met, I found out she prayed for me. I'll tell you, if you got a grandma praying for you, give up. And, you know, I'll tell you what, it's important that we pray for effective evangelism. Unless God works in people's hearts to make the proclamation of God effective, there will be no genuine saving response. Jesus said, no one can come to me unless what? The Father draws them. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 16. I want to show you an example of an effective or an effectual or a specific call of God. You remember in Acts 16, we have recorded Paul's first visit to Philippi. And it says here, up in verses 13 and 14, Acts 16, beginning in verse 13. "And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer, a prosuke it's called. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. And a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord, listen, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul." And she got saved. Here you have, again, Paul is preaching. Lydia was listening. And God opened up her heart. And she heard the call. Yes. And she was saved. John Wesley was having an open air crusade. And at these crusades, they'd get thousands of people coming. One man, who was an unbeliever, decided he was going to go. But he wasn't going to hear John Wesley. He was going to sing, because they had these great song fests before he would get up to preach. So he said, I like to sing. There was a lady that was here in our church, her dad. I won't mention name, but her dad is not saved, but he loves to go to Gaithers concerts. He likes the singing. Well, that was this guy. And so this guy goes there, and they're having this great song fest, and they're singing, and he's singing, and it's great. And okay, singing's over. But there were so many people there, they were so jammed, he couldn't get out. So he did what any good pagan would do. He put his fingers in his ear like this, because he wasn't going to listen to that old preacher preaching. Well, lo and behold, a big old horsefly came and landed on his nose. And he did everything he could to get that horsefly off his nose. That thing wouldn't budge. So he pulled out his hand, one hand, to get that horsefly off his nose. Smacked that horsefly. Just as he pulled out his hand, John Wesley cried out, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." Boy, did that get his attention. And he listened. And God opened up his heart. And he heard the call. And he was saved. There was another sinner who heard the gospel. Heard the gospel. Number of times. A girlfriend was sharing that gospel with him. He even went to Campus Crusade for Christ meetings. Heard the gospel. Staffers came and said, "Let me share the gospel," and heard the gospel. Didn't make any sense. Then on August 26th, 1970, that sinner went to a service, a church service. Lo and behold, that preacher, how he knew that that boy was there, I don't know. But he preached right to me. It was like nobody else was in the room. He preached right to me. And that which I had heard before and didn't understand, I understood. And that which I did not believe before, I thought, this is true. And God opened my heart. And I heard the call. And he saved my soul. That, folks, is the efficacious call. The specific call. The internal call of God. Yes. Now, what happens? What's the result? What are the results of the effectual call? And this is so beautiful. First of all, when God calls, the call of God, the efficacious call, engenders repentance and faith in our lives. When God calls, the sinner he sees his plight. He sees that he's in sin. He sees the need to turn and repent and to trust Christ for salvation. That's what it does. It engenders repentance and faith. And Lord willing, if he tarries and gives us grace next week, we're going to take a look at that. Another thing it does, when God calls one, he calls us out of darkness into marvelous light. Calls us out of darkness. Put this down, 1 Peter 2:9. And this is written of the church. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Do you know what happened when you got saved and when I got saved? The light came on. The light came on. I was in darkness. I didn't understand. But the light came on. I think of John Wesley. I love "And Can It Be." Long my imprisoned soul lay bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off.
Yes, amen.
When God calls, he transfers us from darkness to light. The light comes on. Do you wonder why people with 2-3 PhDs believe in evolution? could you believe something like that? That nothing plus nobody equals everything. They're in the dark. You believe that people can look and say, that thing in that womb is not human life. What is it, chicken life? Dog life? How can you say that? They're in the dark. How can people in Washington say, let's spend our way out of debt? I'll tell you how they can. They're in the dark. When you get saved, the light comes on. And when God calls us, not only does he turn the light on, but when God calls us, he calls us into freedom. You've been called to freedom. The chains fell off. He calls us into fellowship with his son. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have fellowship with Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and have fellowship with him and he with me. We have fellowship with Jesus because God called us. And he called us into his own kingdom and glory. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We're in a different kingdom. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the kingdom. We live by kingdom principles, don't we? We should. We're supposed to. But we've been called to his kingdom and to his glory. And folks, we have been called to eternal life. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life, listen, to which you were called. And you made good confession of in the presence of many witnesses. Take hold of eternal life. We were called to eternal life. We were called to a relationship with God that begins now, but it will not end throughout all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it does. What does it do? When God calls us with the effectual call, it engenders repentance and faith. When God calls us, the light goes on. When God calls us, we have fellowship with his son. When God calls us, he calls us into his kingdom, into his glory. When God calls us, he calls us to eternal life. Wow. That's the results. Now quickly, boy, real quickly, I'm just going to have to mention this. The means of the effectual call. The means of the effectual call. First of all, the word of God. The word of God, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, it was for this he called you through our gospel. It is through the word of God that God calls. Somebody talked to me on the phone this week and said they were witnessing to someone. And they said, but this person doesn't believe in the Bible, so I can't use the Bible. I said, oh, use the Bible. Doesn't matter if they believe in it or not. If I had a sword here and it went down to Ivan and said, Ivan, I'm going to stick you with this. And he said, I don't believe in swords. He'd still be just as dead if I stuck him with it. And the Bible is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And it is what God uses to save the lost. It's the word of God. Secondly, the Spirit of God. The Spirit has come and been sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. It's by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God reaches out and says, come, come. So it's the Spirit of God. And then the servants of God. He uses people to preach the word. Illustration of Jonah in the Old Testament. He went to the sinful Ninevites and preached God's word, and God saved them. In the New Testament, all the people that got saved through the preaching of God's word, but God uses men. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I'll tell you what, he uses prayer. And I'm thankful that people are praying in my office right now for this group. Because God uses prayer for salvation and the preaching of God's word. Well, I'm going down to the last point because of time. I want to finish with this. The call, we've taken a look at the call of God. Now I want to just, for just a minute, take a look at the call of man. Scripture speaks of man's call. Let me give you a verse. Romans 10:13. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isaiah 55, after he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Down in verse 6, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God will have mercy. Call upon him. Call upon him. Now, Acts chapter 2. Please turn to Acts 2. We're going to end here. But Acts chapter 2. We might ask, we have the call of God, we have the call of man. I mean, which comes first? Does man call on God and then God call man? Or does God call man and man calls on God? What? How does this work together? How does this salvation work? Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to preach. And he quoted scripture from the prophet Joel. And in verse 21, one of the quotes he's preaching in this sermon, he says, and it shall be in those last days, in these days, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He finishes. He goes through, and it's a wonderful sermon. But he finishes his sermon, and when he is done, there's a response. Look at verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? Boy, that's a good thing to ask after every sermon. What shall we do? Peter said to them, repent. And each of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. God calls. Man calls. How does it work? God calls. And our heart echoes back that call, yes, and we call to God.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Let me give you one illustration. I know I got to quit. I know. If I could, I'd preach a lot longer than this, so be thankful. Someone said it's like this. When we get up to heaven, we're going to look, and over heaven, the door to heaven, there's going to be an arch. And on it will say, whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll walk through that arch and look back, and on the other side, it will say, chosen from the foundations of the world. Praise you, God. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you hear it? God's calling. Spirit's calling. Let your heart echo back. Hear my Lord. Lord, we bow before you. Oh, Lord, these are such wonderful, wonderful truths. Lord, we just need to worship you. We need to praise you. We need to come. We need to come to Jesus. If you're here today, you need to receive Christ. Hear him calling. Hear him calling. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sins. Repent. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Yes. If you're here, you know that God has touched your life and you are one of his. Come just as our brother has and worship him. Bow at this altar and worship God. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, Savior Jesus. Amen.